All right, guys, I'd like for you to turn to your Bibles to James chapter 1. So we're doing a series in our morning services entitled Living Our Everyday Life with Jesus. And it's a very practical book. It kind of talks about how you and I need to be in our everyday life. And it's very interesting. When you get to chapter 1, James immediately starts off with something that we all struggle with, and that's problems. So I'm not having any problems right now. Okay, not right now, but how about next week? How about the end of the week? How about later today? Problems are a part of our lives, right? And so he's been talking about that for a couple of messages. Now, we're going to get into verses 13 through 18, and he's going to shift. He's still going to talk about struggles, but he's going to shift to the issue of temptation. So, okay, George, he's going to talk about temptation, not struggles. No, you got to follow the flow of where the author is going here. He wants you and I to be able to face the struggles and endure and go on. But the next thing he's going to talk about is that usually when we go through struggles, who do we blame? Who do we blame, folks, when we go through difficulties, if we're honest? My next door neighbor? No, we blame God. God, why are you letting this? Isn't this what we say? Why are you letting this happen to me? Like he's the one who brought the struggle or the difficulty. James knows that. And so when he's having this discussion about enduring and hanging on, it's only natural for him to go to the very next step. So before I give you some thoughts, why don't we read this passage together? So I want you to notice with me verses 13 through 18. Listen to what James writes. Here's what he says. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the fathers of light, from the Father of light, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. And you say, okay, George, all right, I kind of think I understand what's going on. What in the world does this have to do with suffering? Well, let's take a look at verse 13, and I'm going to talk about some wrong assumptions we have. You and I operate under wrong assumption when it comes to the Lord, when it comes to our everyday lives. We kind of talked about that when we talked about the goodness of God earlier. Here's what I want you to see. When you look at verse 13, you overlook that some of your suffering results from your own actions. Everybody recognizes that, right? Not everything that's going wrong is somebody else's fault. Sometimes it's because of you. Actually, I would think about my life. A lot of times it's because of me. It's because of things that I have decided. It's because of what I have done. And to be honest with you, sometimes it's because of things I've done 10 years ago that at the moment it wasn't a problem, but now it is. Do you understand what I'm saying? The reality is when we do wrong things, there are, we all love this word, consequences, right? We don't like consequences, but we have to deal with them. Do you understand? But the problem is that when they happen, Well, here it is. It's easy to shift the blame for your sins unto God. Well, God, if you hadn't have put me in that situation, I would have never done that. Really? Really? So he's the reason why you made that wrong decision? He's the reason why you acted on that choice, you did whatever, and the result, God's the one who put you there. You didn't drive yourself there. You didn't accept the invitation. You didn't do all this other stuff. Do you see what I'm saying? It's kind of like we want to blame somebody else other than ourselves. And by the way, just so you say, oh man, I don't like what you're saying to me, George. I'm telling that to every one of us here because we all don't like that. We don't want, every one of us, including myself, doesn't want to assume responsibility for our actions. It's somebody else's fault. And actually, it's natural for us to think that way because we're in a culture right now that, as long as I can remember, has always felt it was somebody else's fault. Personal responsibility doesn't enter into anything. And so the reality is that when he's talking about the suffering in your life, he's wanting to point out that there is an element of your suffering that is happening because of who? You. Because of me. With regards to the things that are happening in my life. So, the other thing is that the problem is that when we make those kind of statements, when we want to blame God, and we want to say, God, if you hadn't allowed that temptation in my life, if you hadn't tempted me, I would have never done that. I wouldn't have these problems I'm in right now. Well, here's the thing that we don't realize, and look with me at what verse 13 says. Look with me at verse 13. Here's what he says. Let no one say when he is tempted, I'm being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. Here's the point. You overlook the fact that God cannot tempt you. That's logical, right? I mean, if you think about it for a moment, if we're not thinking about with it our emotion, because when we think about our emotion and we're in the midst of it, we want to say, oh God, why'd you let this happen to me? Why are you doing this to me? Okay, wait a minute, back off. Think about it logically. Okay, so I have four kids, okay? And soon, here, maybe in 18 days, I'm going to have a grandchild, okay? Maybe. All right, we're excited in the Cannon household, but I'm just letting you know. So, all right, I can't picture that with any of my children that I would tempt them to do something that is so wrong that it ends up affecting them negatively. Would you agree with that? Would you do that with your kids, those of you who have kids? No, nobody would, okay? Why do we think God would do that? Because are we not his children? Does he not love us? Did he not die for us? This is the point he's trying to make here. God cannot be tempted by evil because he doesn't do evil, and he tempts no one to evil. When we enter into that kind of thinking, we have wrong assumptions. We have wrong thinking about God and how he acts with us. So that's why James goes on in verses 14 through 15, and he's going to discuss the reality. Here's the reality. When it comes to you and I giving in to temptation and doing the things that are wrong, it has to fall back on us. And here's what he says. Look with me, verse 14, he says this. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. It starts with you. Here's the point I want you to see. Your personal desires expose you to the reality of temptation. Your personal desires. It's you. It starts with you. And let me just go ahead and say that. It starts with you because what you're tempted by is going to be different than what I'm tempted by. I was kind of thinking about this before the service. I thought, man, what would be something that would tempt people in here that I couldn't care less about? Raisin-filled cookies. How many of you love raisin-filled cookies? Some of you, right? I couldn't care less about them. That doesn't tempt me, okay? Now, bring out a pumpkin cookie with lots of vanilla icing on it. I'm tempted by that, not by the pumpkin cookie, but by the vanilla icing. See, temptation is you. It's you, what you desire. It starts with you. That exposes you to the reality of the temptation. That's what he's saying. It isn't God. God's not doing that to you. It's you. When you look at the difficulties that happen because of the consequences of what you have done, it started with you. Well, he's going to continue with the progression here. I want you to notice with me now, verse 15. Here's what he says. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it has fully grown, brings forth death. So there he's kind of like telling you how it all, the kind of the process of what happens. Here you are, you've got your desires, you give in to them. Of course, what is that going to do? It's going to bring forth sin, wrong actions, wrong thoughts, wrong things being spoken, wrong. And then the ultimate result of that is death. What do you mean, I'm going to die? Well, ultimately you will die, but death here signifies destruction in your life, which is what's happening right now when you're going through that consequence of whatever you did, right? It's destroying you. It's keeping you up at night. It's wreaking havoc in your life. It brings forth death. So here's the point I want you to see here. Succumbing to temptation always results in death. It always results in a problem. Now, you and I, we have to recognize that. So rather than saying, why are you doing this to me, Lord? Maybe we should say, all right, Lord, I understand. I did wrong. Can you help me out of this problem? So let me just stop for a moment. Some of us think that, well, God's just going to leave us to our desires and to our consequences, and he's not going to help us with it. Really? You know, when my kids make wrong decisions out of love, I need to allow them to experience the consequence so they can learn from it, but I will also help them as much as I can to help them, right? Isn't that what someone who loves somebody does? You want them to learn, but you also help them. God is the same way, folks. He wants you to grow from it, to experience from it, but he doesn't want it to destroy you either. But you have to go to him and you have to what? Admit. It started with me, Lord. It isn't you. You didn't bring this into my life. I brought it into my life. I made a wrong decision. I desired whatever it was. I acted on that. I did wrong. I treated people wrongly. And this is why they are acting this way towards me. It's me. It's me, Lord. It's not him. See, this is the point James is trying to make to us. You are the issue. And so to reiterate it, he's going to focus now on having a proper perspective. The way that we come there is that when we realize how God is really good to us. What do you mean? So look with me at verse 16 through 18. I'm going to read the whole section for you again. I'm going to point out three things that hopefully will shore you up in your thinking about God. Okay, here it is. Look with me at verse 16. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creation. All right, so the first one is, verse 16, here's the proper perspective. Don't deceive yourself concerning the consequences of sin. Don't deceive yourself. What do you mean, deceive myself? Deceiving yourself by thinking it's somebody else's problem, somebody else's fault, somebody else is responsible. It's not you. It's never you. No, no, wait a minute. Hold on. That should never come out of our mouths. It's never me. You should be realizing that sometimes the stuff you go through is because of you. Don't deceive yourself. That's the point he's making. If I'm going to have a realistic perspective as I'm going through life and I'm dealing with the junk that's happening, I'm going to be realistic and say, okay, yes, Lord, some of this I created for myself. Don't deceive yourself. I think we all should be there, right? We need to get there. Here's the other one. Verse 17. The Lord is the source of all good things in your life. Bottom line. He is the source of all good things. That's what he's saying here. Look at what it says there. Every good gift and perfect gift is from above. He's the source of all good gifts. So I told you we're expecting our grandchild, Foster and Laura. We spent all day yesterday helping them get their house ready and just spending time celebrating as we do as Lori's making apple stuff. And she didn't share it with me. It was all for Foster. So when that baby comes, and I get to hold him, I'm going to thank God because that precious baby is a gift from him. You guys remember that when you held yours? You didn't sit there and say, man, wasn't I good? Look at what I produced. No, you're like, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Every good and perfect gift comes from him. Some of us, can I be honest with you? We are so quick to judge the Heavenly Father. And we're so quick to misjudge him in a negative way when in reality he loves you so much. And every good gift he gives you is from him. That's the perspective. So yes, yeah, there's temptation, but that didn't come from him. That came from within you. That was your desires, do you understand? And you acted on them, and that resulted in the problems that resulted. That wasn't God. He never intended you to live in a world like that. That was not the world he created. We messed that world up. And we've got to live with the consequences of that as well, right? And he's promising us something far better later on. But get your perspective right. I got to get my perspective right. Lord, every good gift is from you. Now, here's the last thing he says here, which I think is so powerful. The Lord saved you for a special relationship with him. Look at what verse 18 says. I'll read it to you again. Okay, here's what he says. Of his own will. All right, stop. Let's take that. Of his own. Whose own will? God's own will. Out of his own determination will. Look at what it says here. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth. He saved you. He reached into your heart and you reached back out to him in faith and you trusted in him. He made you his child. That was because of him reaching out to you. He loved you so much. He reached out to you and you embraced him back. Look at what it says here. So that we should be the kind of first fruits of his creatures. So that we could be something special. Something special. We have a special relationship with him. And let me go back to what I said earlier. If we've got such a special relationship, what kind of God is it that would do something to hurt you? cause you to hurt yourself. We don't have that kind of God. But what does he do, though? To keep you from hurting yourself, he what? Tells us what not to do. Tells us, stay away from there. Don't do that. Do you know what I'm saying? We used to tell our kids all kinds of things like that. Like when we have a fire. I've noticed whenever we have a big family gathering and we've got lots of nieces and nephews that are really little, and when we've got a big fire, mommy and daddies are saying to them, stay away from the fire because you'll get burned. That's love. You don't hear somebody say, oh, go reach in there and grab that fiery stick. Nobody says that. But that's our concept of God. We need to stop it and recognize, like we were singing, the goodness of God. You say, okay, George, where do we go with this? What do we do with this? Well, let's start with you. What do you mean? Let's start with me. Let's start with you, okay? I don't know what's going on in your life. Some of you I do because you share it with me. But most of you, I have no clue. I have no clue what are the struggles and difficulties. And by the way, I'm not asking for you to tell me. I'm just telling you, some of you are going through it. And you're really wrestling. You're really struggling right now with a concept of God, with whether or not he truly cares for you, whether or not he truly loves you. And some of you are even saying, Lord, this is happening because you're doing this to me. So you need to ask yourself, are you there? Because here's what I want you to understand. That's a lie. Quit living in the lie. Quit living in the lie about him, because testimony after testimony is the word, the truth of his goodness towards his children and his love and commitment to you. Quit believing the lie. So with that, do some introspection. What do you mean? Instead of blaming somebody else, take a look and see, is it you? And is what happening a result of you and your decisions, your actions, your choice? This is the reality. So what do we do then? Well, then you go to him and you say to him, Lord, I was wrong. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Talk about a loving father. You know what? If I'm mad at one of my kids and they want to come say sorry to me, I might say, okay, I forgive you, but I might still be seething on the inside. That's not true with God. If we're faithful to go to him and say to him, we are sorry, we did wrong, we made wrong choices, we can know what? That he forgives us. So look at yourself, own it, don't believe that lie, and rest in his goodness. And for some of you, you maybe need to take a step a little bit further than where you are and start exploring that special relationship that he has with you. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your grace and your love in our lives. You love us. Sometimes we forget that, Lord. Sometimes we don't really know what to do. And with that, we sometimes blame you. Can you forgive us? Lord, help us to own our stuff. Help us to take responsibility for ourselves and the decisions that we make that end up wrong. And Lord, can you be gracious with us in the consequences? Help us to learn the lesson we need to learn, but help us to See us through it. I thank you for your love, your grace, and your goodness. I thank you for the blessings you give us. And I thank you for these folks. And I ask your blessing on them in Jesus' name. Amen.